We're in a series about prayer. Prayer is a great adventure. And God wants us to be a praying people. And I think it's good to emphasize the importance of prayer, the different elements of prayer. And so we're trying to spend some time on Sunday evenings talking about prayer. Tonight I want to talk about approaching God with praise. Approaching God with praise. And that's a way we should approach Him. We've been dealing with the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's His model prayer for us. So look, if you will, Matthew chapter 6, and we want to look at verse 9, and just a portion of the Lord's Prayer we'll look at tonight. And then I'm going to ask you to turn to another selection of Scripture that would encourage us about what is said in this first part. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then we're just going to look at that part of the Lord's Prayer tonight. Also in Ephesians, if you'll turn there very quickly, if you can find it, Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7, or Galatians 4 rather, I'm sorry, Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. The Scripture says, beginning with verse 4, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, notice what He says, the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, what? Abba, Father. And so that ties right into what God said as He's teaching us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. I'm glad that we have a Father in heaven tonight. And a great need is to know in anybody's life that they have a father that loves them. Now, I've talked to some children whose father didn't love them, and there was something lacking. I know that sometimes it creates some psychological problems. But isn't it great to know that you have an earthly father that loves you? I had such a father. I was blessed. And I knew that my father loved me, and that gave me a great deal of confidence knowing that he loved me. But the greatest thing is to know that we have God as our Heavenly Father, and that we can call Him our Heavenly Father, and we know that we have the Spirit of God within us that says we can cry out, Abba, and that could be read like this, Papa, Papa. It's a very intimate and very precious statement that could be made. I remember having a friend one time that I was talking to, and we were discussing the man's child, and the child was having some real problems stuttering. And so every time they would get around the child would be stuttering. He'd come to the table, he would be stuttering, and had a real problem with that. Finally, this very busy pastor of a large church, this pastor was talking to somebody at the school, and the counselor said, Let me suggest something to you. Give your son a little more attention and recognize him at the table and spend a little more time with him and don't make him have to interrupt you all the time to talk to you and let's see what happens. And this is what happened. The boy quit stuttering when the daddy began to give him time and the daddy showed him that he really loved him, that he really cared, and that the greatest thing on the face of the earth was not necessarily his ministry. Thank God that we have that relationship like that, and this boy quit stuttering. You see, God is our Father, and when we know that God is our Father, then the whole world changes for us because we know we are children of God. Now, we are more than servants. We are servants, but we're more than servants to God in that relationship. In the Old Testament concept of God, there was a great reverence for God, obviously. But in that reverence, there was also a great deal of fear concerning God according to the Old Testament. Many times the scribes would write down the word Yahweh. And when they would write down the word Yahweh, they would take that pen and they would throw it away because they said it was disqualified for ever writing that name again. I mean, they absolutely reverenced the name of God, the name Yahweh that they used. The downside to that reverence was that there was very little personal intimacy with Almighty God. And every way they had to approach God was through the tabernacle or through the temple, and they were restricted as to where they could go and the animal sacrifices. And many times, of course, they had to come through the priest in order to approach God. That was the Old Testament way. And in the Old Testament, the word Father is used in relationship to God only 14 different times. Only 14 times. Now, we get over to the New Testament, and I thank God we live in the New Testament. The Old Testament is important, and the Old Testament, you cannot understand the New without the Old and vice versa, but I'm glad we live in the New Testament. The individual relationship that we have with God is a very personal relationship, and God wants it to be that way, and He wants us to call Him our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. The word Father is used 17 times alone in the Sermon on the Mount. 17 times, and someone has found it at least 70 plus times in the New Testament where the word Father is used compared to 14 times in all of the Old Testament. God wants us to have a close, intimate relationship with Him. And in our text in Galatians, He said, call me Abba Father. You have that right. Why? The veil, thank God, has been rent in two from top to bottom. And we now have access to Him, which that typified when that happened on the day that the Lord Jesus was crucified. In the Old Testament, we think more of being servants. In the New Testament, we are sons and daughters of Almighty God. Though yet, of course, we are still His servants. We have that intimate relationship. Now, here's the thing. How do you become a child of God's? How do you become God's child? How do you get the right to have this intimate relationship where you can say, our Father? The answer to that is adoption. The answer is to be adopted into the family of God by something called the new birth. That means simply trust Christ as your Savior. If there's one person here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not a child of God's, no matter what you may think. You need to be saved and born again. And when you get saved and born again, then you are a child of God, adopted into the family of God, never to be kicked out of the family of God. And you have the right to say, my Father who art in heaven, as well as our Father which art in heaven. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, think of that, the sons of God. What a wonderful thing it is tonight to be saved and to be called a son of the living God. What a relationship. You see, there's something about that father-child relationship. When my two children were still at home, and Phil and Nicole, I told my secretaries then, and I still tell them now, that if my son comes by or my daughter comes by, you interrupt me and tell me they're out there, and I'll come out and talk to them. They are very, very special people. Now, I can't do that to everybody. That would be mass confusion. I wish I could, but that just can't happen. But it isn't because I don't want to. But with them, they have special privileges. They always have had. You know why? Because I'm their daddy, and they're my children. And they were very close and intimate to me and me to them. And my grandchildren, listen, I say to the secretaries, and I don't want to be disturbed. I'm going to be studying all morning. And then I'll get this little buzz on my telephone. It'll be Karen, or it may be Stephanie, and they'll say, Brooke's on the phone. She wanted to talk to you. I say, all right, let me talk to her. I don't even hesitate. Brooke is one of the twin granddaughters, or Brittany, or if it's Kaz or Drake or whomever it may be, I'm ready to talk to them and to really spend some time with them. If it's Jacob, I'll give him some extra time. But at any rate, because we have that relationship. And thank God we have the right to go before our Heavenly Father and approach Him. Turn to Hebrews just a second, if you will. Let me just show you something over here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. I like these verses. Hebrews chapter 10, and this is what we're talking about, where he said in verse 19, Hebrews 10, "Having therefore, brethren, the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That's how you get in. That's what makes the way. "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." We have the right to enter boldly before God. He says, come on in. You say, "Well, aren't you too busy for me, God?" Not at all. God is never too busy. How can God not be too busy? I don't know. Ask him when you get to heaven. But I can tell you, God is never too busy for us to talk to him. And he's always saying to us, "You come right on in. I want you to come in. I welcome you to come in, just like I would my children." Now, he says, "Our Father, which art where?" In heaven. Maybe we ought to think about that part of the phrase a little bit. God is in heaven, amen? He is on his throne. He is ruling and reigning as the holy sovereign over all the earth. As a matter of fact, the earth, the Bible says, is his footstool. His footstool. He can prop his feet up on the earth anytime he wants to. God has that right. He is Almighty God, and the earth is his footstool. He is there surrounded by majesty. The hosts of heaven are forever giving him praise and honor and glory. I don't know how all that works out up there. I just know the Bible says that that's the way it is. Angelic hosts are doing that. And he has at his right hand the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son, who is at the right hand of the Father on his throne in majesty. And you talk about pomp and circumstance, it's there in heaven. Right now it's going on. I believe they're worshiping God right now up there, somehow, some way. And the Bible indicates that. I remember going to India, and when we got there, the team that I went with, there was a couple of other pastors and their wives, myself and Brother Larry Malone, and another lady who went along on the trip. And I wasn't really prepared for what happened. We got to India, and of course, you know, you're wore out after about 17 hours one leg of the trip, and then about 8 hours the second leg of the trip, and all of that, and you try to get a little rest. And here we go out together in a van, and we come to this big place, this place that is way out, sort of out in the country. And we had to stop. There was a military man there, and we had to be identified before we could get in the walls of that particular compound. And man, when they let us out and we started through the gates, I've never seen it. I thought I was the president of the United States. They threw flowers on us, over 1,000 students in that school. And they threw flowers out and treated us with royalty. And as we walked, they were singing and they were all in their uniforms. And I thought, man, isn't this something? I felt pretty important that day to the grace of God. And they were just thrilled to death because the Americans had come over there. And then we went up to the front. We walked a long ways down a long pathway, a road actually, and went on up to where all of these students were gathered around. And by the way, not one of them got out of hand. No wonder they're a little bit better educated than we are now. But they did not get out of hand. And one of the students walked up to the microphone and he stood erect and he began to recite things and words of welcome and appreciation and all of that. And I thought, man, I'm glad I came. Now, some of you are looking at me like I'm too proud. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm glad I went. And I'm glad there was pomp and circumstance. And all of that made me feel great that I took the time to go over there. But in heaven, that would be nothing compared to what's going on up there. I'm just saying we have a Holy Father who is sitting on His throne, who is so majestic that you and I cannot imagine who He is. In 1989... the astronomers found something they call the Great Wall, capital letters, Great Wall. And as they discovered that, and I'm talking about how great God is right now, there were hundreds of millions of light years across the known universe that they were talking about in these galaxies these astronomers had found. And the wall supposedly is some 500 million light years long. That's pretty long. 200 million light years wide. It's hard for us to get into that. 15 million light years thick. A light year is a little less than 6 trillion miles. That's just a speck of what God has done out there, how great God is. And that was 1989. They call it the Great Wall, capital letters. In 1990, 3 months later, they discovered so much more that they quit even putting that into capital letters. They said, well, that isn't even anything, what we found now. And they found something that was so much greater. I'm simply saying to you, what a God we have. Our Father, which art in heaven, sitting on your throne, ruling and reigning. Now, one of the dangers we have to be careful about is that we lose, if we're not careful in our desire to be intimate, we lose a little reverence for God. Friend, let me tell you, that God is not the big dodger in the sky. Amen? And I hear Baptists say, even nowadays, well, I've been talking to the man upstairs. Oh, my soul. The man upstairs may be a drug addict. The man upstairs may beat his wife. The man upstairs may be a bum. He's not the man upstairs. He's Almighty God. Jehovah Elohim, the one who was, is, always, shall be the supreme object of worship. He is sitting on His throne tonight. Our Father which art in heaven. And we have to be careful. God is not uncommon. God is uncommon, and God is unearthly, and God is undefiled. God is a holy God with almighty power. Our Father. Going back to this idea, John Kennedy, some of you remember one time that they had some pictures and they showed his little children, and back then they were little children, John Jr. and Caroline. And they were in the Oval Office and they were playing around his feet with little toys. He was the president of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, and yet they felt comfortable in his presence. I have an idea they somehow knew a little bit about who he was, but at the same time, they were comfortable in His presence. He was, yes, their daddy, but He was also President of the United States of America. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? We need to look at our God in such a great way. We're God's children, but never forget, He is on His throne. He is to be reverenced. He is to be respected. He's to be loved. He's to be praised as the great sovereign. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name. What does that mean? Well, in the Greek, it's hagiazo, which literally means holy. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is Thy name. Holy is Thy name. Hallow His name. How? We can hallow His name by rehearsing who He is. Now, these are terms you might not be familiar with, but let me tell you who He is. Just by these terms that are used to describe God. He is Yahweh Tsidkenu. What does that mean? He is the Lord, our righteousness. You don't have righteousness on your own. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is Yahweh Makedesh. That is the Lord who sanctifies us and sets us apart unto Himself. He is Yahweh Shalom. If you go to Israel, you'll see somebody and you'll say Shalom. He is the God of our peace. Amen. All of these describe who He is. He is Yahweh Shammah. And that means that He is the Lord that is there and the Lord that never leaves us. That's who He is. He is Yahweh Rapha, or Rapha, some would say. That is, He is the God who can heal. God who heals. That's who He is. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is God my banner. There is no other God. He is God my banner. He is Jehovah Rohi. He is God who is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that great? Righteousness, sanctification, peace. Never leave us, heals us, provides for us. He is our banner. He is our shepherd. That's God. That's who God is. To God be the glory. And the greatest revelation of this gift was His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know what He's like? Because He gave His Son. But we hallow His name by rehearsing who He is. And also by relinquishing control, we could say, of our lives. We hallow His name by relinquishing control of our lives. What do you mean, preacher? We say to God, this day is yours. Every day we get up and we say, God, this is not my day. This day is yours. We hallow it in that relationship. And our conduct is carried out in that way. I know who my Father is. And my Father knows who I am. And I want to walk in such a way that I am able to yield myself totally to Him. God, this day is not mine. This day is yours. We hallow His name by relinquishing control of our lives and by recognizing His presence in our lives. I'm glad we ought to be constantly aware that God is there. People say, well, I do that in secret. No, you don't. There is no such thing as doing anything in secret because God knows. And He is God who is watching. The psalmist said in 16:8, I have set Jehovah always before me. Boy, that's a good thing to do. Always set Jehovah before you. Always recognize every day that you're in His presence. Hallow that day by seeing that according to the Word of God. Now quickly, let me give you about 7 benefits of praise. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy name is holy. We praise Your name. And here's one of the benefits of praise. It enhances our appreciation for God. It enhances our appreciation for God. If we hallow His name, we're going to appreciate God a whole lot more. I mean, if we do it every day, we hallow the name of God, it will enhance our appreciation for God. Also, it will expand our vision. When we think about God and we hallow His name, then we are always thinking, what can I do for You, God? And that will increase your vision. That'll make you want to do something for God. It'll make you have some things in your heart and mind, and you'll say, God is so hallowed in my heart and mind that I want to have vision so that I can do something for the glory of God. What can I do, God, for You? It expands our vision. It also eclipses our fears. It eclipses our fears. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. You see, sometimes there are those things that are gnawing on us and troubling us and some things that could get us down. But if we hallow His name every day, if we concentrate on Him and think about Him and we turn it over to Him, we'll forget our fears, those things that are gnawing in our heart and our mind that would worry us to death. Hallowed be Thy name. God, You're on the throne. And I know You're able and You will take care of it. Not only that, it energizes our work. Andrew Murray said, so much to do that I need to spend one extra hour in prayer before God. I have so much to do that I need to spend 1 hour extra in prayer before God. You see, it will energize our work when we hallow Him. We'll know that if we're going to get the task done, we've got to depend on Him. We've got to wake up, call on Him, and say, God, I've got more today than I could ever possibly do. And I need to know what the priorities are. And God, I need for You to help me to work these things out today to Your honor and to Your blessed glory. Let it be that way. It energizes our work. It also refreshes our spirit. Refreshes our spirit. Sometimes you know that you may toss and turn for a little while you're trying to go to sleep. Or you may awaken around 3 or 4 in the morning and things are on your mind. The older you get, the more that happens. And things are on your mind, but you have to turn them over to God. He refreshes our spirit. I've awakened numbers of times in the morning thinking about some church members and thinking about some of the pressures and some of the things that happen and are going on and all of that. And I'm tossing and turning, and all of a sudden I realize, hey, it's best for me to go to sleep and let God handle these things. And just turn it over to God. Hallowed be thy name. It refreshes our spirit, and the heaviness is gone. One of the things you can do, if you're waking at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and all this stuff starts going through your mind, just start praising the Lord. Just start talking to Him. It's good to have a Bible by your bed. It's good to have a tablet by your bed and a pen, and He might give you some ideas and some thoughts. But one thing you can certainly do when all of this stuff begins to come in on you, maybe during that time, then just start praising the Lord. And just say, oh God, hallowed be thy name. I'm not going to let it bother me or worry about it. And then it will exhaust our enemies. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. I guarantee you, one thing Satan hates is prayer. He trembles when he sees the weakest saint, the weakest Christian on our knees, because he knows the power of prayer. He knows more about the power of prayer than a lot of Baptists do. Amen. It exhausts our enemies. Satan doesn't like it. And then it prepares us for heaven. Prepares us for heaven. One time I was over in the Philippines and we met the president of the Philippines. Our group went in. We sat around all these big tables and had microphones in front of us so we could ask questions. And the president was there and his guards were around and all of that. But before we ever went in, they took us to the side. Some of the people told us what we could do, what we couldn't do, how to approach him, what to say, how to do what we needed to do to prepare us for walking into that awesome room where the president of the Philippines was. And I felt so out of place. We went in there and sat around the table, and he was just as cordial as he could be. They like Americans over there, you know. And he was very cordial with us, and asked us some questions. We asked him some questions. And he, I guess, liked our group. He opened up a lot of the prison so some of our people could go in there. A policeman I'd led to the Lord was with us, Big George Allen. And George got to go to the prisons and preach to those people. He had people saved. But we had to get prepared to meet the president. Friend, it'll do us some good to get prepared to meet God. Amen. To spend a little time down here worshiping God and hallowing his name, because when we get to heaven, I guarantee you we're going to do that. We're going to do that, and we will be with him. It's good to be prepared. I've known preachers that preached, and right after they preached, died. Dr. B.R. Lakin preached, and it wasn't long after he sat down, right after that, I think it was B.R. Lakin that passed away. And I remember a friend of mine, some of you knew old Hump. They called him Hump, Brother Humphreys, A.T. Humphreys. Man, he could sing that song, "When God Reached Way Down for Me," and he'd bend over. And nobody could sing it like A.T. Humphreys, nobody. I've heard it many times, but nobody could sing it like A.T. Humphreys. A.T. Humphreys was praising God, singing to the glory of God, worshiping God. He sang that song that night. I believe that was the last song he sang. He went over and sat down in a chair and died and went to heaven. He was prepared to worship God. He left this earth worshiping God. I would like to leave this earth that way. Now, I'm not in a hurry, but I would like to leave the earth that way someday, preaching away and just sit down and that's it. Go into the presence of God. Wouldn't that be sweet? That'd be a pleasant way to go. I heard about a man who had called a pastor, a Christian man rather, over to him, and he was a little concerned about it. He was in a hospital bed. Being in that hospital bed, he said, "I talked to someone. They came in the other day and they talked to me and they said, now just talk to God like you were talking to, with all reverence, but talk to him like he was a dear friend." And he said, they said, "Just put a chair over there and Just pretend that Jesus is in that chair and just talk to him. And he said, I don't know if that's right or wrong. And this friend said, I think it's okay. I don't think God minds that. Just pray and talk to him. And you can pretend that he's sitting there in that chair. One day they came in and they said one of the strangest things. He had passed away. And they went in that room and his body was there at that chair with his head laid over in the chair. It's like he died with his head in the lap of Jesus Christ. Remember, he pretended Jesus was in that chair. And somehow he made his way over there, laid his head in that chair as if he were laying his head in the lap of Jesus and went to heaven. Wouldn't that be a great way? We need to worship him down here. You know, it wouldn't hurt to rehearse for heaven a little bit. We rehearse for everything else under the sun. Why don't we rehearse for heaven a little bit? Worship God, praise God, give him glory. Our Father, oh, that's good, which art in heaven, that's good too. Hallowed be thy name. Let's stand, please. Can you call him your Father tonight? Is he your Father? Can you say, Abba, Father? Are you a child of God? If not, step out from where you are and come down and receive Jesus as your Savior tonight. We want you to do that. May God help you to come. And then I just wonder, dear friend, if we are really approaching God every day of our life with praise. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May we hallow his name in our hearts afresh and anew tonight. Oh God, thank you for teaching us how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we're glad you're there in heaven. We know you're everywhere present, but you have a special place. Your throne in the third heaven. What a dwelling place that is. Thank you that we can approach the throne through Christ, our great high priest. And we do worship you tonight. We bow and humble our hearts, our minds, perhaps even our bodies tonight before you to hallow your name, to worship you. We are thankful that praise and worship takes away so many things that are absolutely unnecessary and harmful and hurtful in our lives. Help us to turn everything over to you tonight, to hallow your holy name, to realize and remember who you are. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.